The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Welcome to Prognosis. I'm Laura Carlson. It's day 324 since coronavirus was declared a global pandemic. Today's main story: healthcare workers were among the first priority for vaccinations in the U.S. But thousands of doctors, nurses, and other health professionals say that if they're not affiliated with major hospitals, they're likely to miss out. But first, here's what happened in virus news today. New York City broke down its COVID-19 vaccination data by ethnicity for the first time. That revealed profound racial disparities in who's getting the shots. White residents made up almost half of the people who have received at least one dose, despite consisting of only a third of the population. Latinos, 29% of the city, only accounted for 15% of those vaccinated. The lowest ratio was among Black residents. Even though they make up almost a quarter of the city's population, they only accounted for 11% of those vaccinated. The percentage of Asians among all vaccinated residents was 15%, similar to their representation in the city. A top health advisor to President Joe Biden warned Sunday that the highly transmissible UK variant of the coronavirus will likely become the dominant strain in the US. Michael Osterholm, director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota, said on NBC's Meet the Press that the nation's healthcare system must prepare for a surge in serious cases, such as the one experienced recently in England. Finally, the U.S. added about 144,000 COVID-19 cases on Saturday, fewer than the average of over the preceding 7 days. The data, compiled by Johns Hopkins University and Bloomberg, are further evidence the pandemic is slowing in the U.S. And now for today's main story. Since Pfizer and Moderna vaccine shipments in the U.S. began in mid-December, the priority has been doctors, nurses, and other professionals likely to come in contact with a novel coronavirus. But healthcare workers who aren't with hospitals and major health systems say they're being overlooked. I spoke to reporter Elise Young about why thousands of healthcare workers are still seeking vaccinations, even as states and cities open eligibility to people far removed from the pandemic's front line.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Throughout the U.S., shipments of, say, the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine have been distributed to doctors, nurses, other health professionals. But there is a significant population of medical workers who are not having an easy time accessing vaccines. Can you tell us a bit about this?
The priority has been from the beginning to vaccinate healthcare workers. But states made those healthcare workers those who are affiliated with hospitals. And the reason for that largely is because hospitals had the ability to store some of the vaccines, which of course require super cold temperatures. And then it was kind of an afterthought. Uh-oh, what do we do about these folks who aren't hospital employees?
So we've seen in recent weeks that many U.S. states have begun to expand eligibility for vaccines. But how has that been impacting these professional health workers who aren't affiliated with, for example, large-scale health systems or hospitals?
The U.S. has added tremendous numbers of people who are not healthcare workers. In some states, such as Florida, they said if you are over 65, regardless of whether you have any medical conditions, come on in. If in some states have said, you know, tax collectors should get the vaccine, forest rangers should get the vaccine. The vaccine was scarce enough before you added these folks, and now you've got them competing with the frontline workers who are actually at great risk of being exposed to the virus.
Now, as you mentioned, you know, a lot of, for example, general practitioners or family doctors, these are people who do not work often in hospital settings, but are still very much frontline workers. What kind of data do we have about how this group of medical professionals has been affected thus far by COVID-19?
There was a study done by the University of Pennsylvania's Medical School about 6 months ago that found that healthcare workers made up a significant portion of folks who are dying of COVID. And among those, 27% of about 1,000 physician deaths were primary doctors and others who don't work in hospitals. The study said that the hospital workers had a lot of access to personal protective equipment that folks working in independent offices might not have.
And I was wondering if you could just maybe give us a bit of color, some anecdotes perhaps, about what some of these, in many cases, unaffiliated medical professionals have had to do and to try and get themselves vaccinated.
We spoke to a doctor in Florida, a pediatrician, who said it took him about a month after the vaccinations first became available for himself to schedule an appointment. And as of yesterday, his physician's assistant, who he says sees more sick children than he does, has not been able to get his first shot. I also spoke to a dentist on Long Island who got his first dose, and his next dose is due on Wednesday, and he still doesn't have a second appointment. One of his office workers was lucky enough to score an appointment at a mega site on Long Island and was all set to go, and then the mega site sent out a notice saying, sorry, we're open just to employees. We made a mistake. So she had to cancel.
And let's look at this from the distribution angle. You know, what efforts have been made now that we know that there are these issues with many medical professionals having trouble getting access to vaccines? What efforts have been made to try and help this population get vaccinated?
In Pennsylvania, the health chief ordered hospitals to set aside 10% of their vaccine doses for non-affiliated staff. Haven't been able to determine yet how successful that's been, and Pennsylvania is the only state that I was able to find that has done that.
We have heard reports that some medical professionals are hesitant about receiving the vaccine, but this is a slightly different issue in that these professionals are wanting to be vaccinated but are unable to do so. Can you tell us a bit about that?
In New Jersey, we got reports around Christmas time that hospital staff were not eager to get the vaccine because they did not want to feel any side effects around the holidays. And then we have found that sentiment around the U.S. Some health professionals have said, we don't really want to be the guinea pig here, so we will wait to see what kind of effects there are. But my colleague spoke to an executive medical director at Oak Street Health in the Chicago area. And he said that there's really broad acceptance from the traveling nurses and nurse practitioners and infusion specialists. They're saying outright, how can I get vaccinated? And there's also some concern that these folks could be at greater risk, because if you're working in a hospital setting, you're working among people who have been vaccinated largely, and patients have been tested, and folks coming in for elective surgery have been screened before they come in. When you're a primary care doctor, somebody makes an appointment and comes into your office, you can ask them some questions, but you're probably not going to spot test them right there.
That was Elise Young. And that's it for our show today. For coverage of the outbreak from 120 bureaus around the world, visit Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. And if you like the show, please leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's the best way to help more listeners find our global reporting. The Prognosis Daily Edition is produced by Topher Forges, Magnus Hendrickson, and me, Laura Carlson. Today's main story was reported by Elise Young. Original music by Leo Sidran. Our editors are Rick Schein and Francesca Levy. Francesca Levy is Bloomberg's head of podcasts. Thanks for listening.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.